Something about this year that's really kind of like a graduation. We're continuing to move up as we look at the various things that we can do to please God with our lives and to be more Christ-like in our existence. And so we're really grateful for those that had a part in laying out our theme for this particular year, elevating our serve. You probably watched some of the funeral services for Kobe Bryant. I know that many was there at the Staples Center celebrating his life. But one of the things that I heard in the whole layout is that he constantly, every year, updated or upgraded his serve, how he improved his game, maybe through shooting or the art of ball handling. It reminded me a lot of Michael Jordan when he played ball. Every year he focused on something to improve his game. You and I think that his game was pretty good, you know, before he started the improvement process, but he did it every year. And so truly, as you and I look at our service, we're wanting to constantly improve our game. I'm not a big Lakers fan. In fact, during the days of when Magic and all of them played, I was the only time I really pulled for the Lakers is when they played the Celtics, because I didn't like Larry Bird. So that's the only time I could legitimately rally them. I was always behind the Bulls. But the idea is that it's something to constantly, even when you're good, to continue to improve your game. Most businesses and professions has this idea that you need to take continuing education courses, because we don't want you just to be status quo. We want you to continue to improve. And truly, if it's that way with our careers, with our jobs, with our sports, truly it should be that way so far as our service to God is concerned. There are many lives that we can look at in Scripture to give us some encouragement so far as improving our serve. But I want to focus in on one tonight. Our brother writes in Hebrews about this particular person, but he's also chronicled and characterized in the book of Genesis. And that is, of course, the father of the faithful, a fellow by the name of Abraham. I want to look tonight at this idea of elevating our serve with respect to the life of Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, verse number 16, our brother Paul writes to the church at Rome, and he says something that I think is paramount to what we can expect looking at the life of a fellow by the name of Abraham. In chapter 4, in verse number 16, the Bible says, therefore it is of faith that might be that it might be by grace, to the end of the promise might be sure to all the seed, and not only to that which is of the Jew, but to that which also is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. When you start talking about faithfulness, when you talk about improving your service to God, Abraham's name constantly comes up. He is one that we can look to truly see a trajectory, if you will, from coming out of Ur of the Chaldees, Mesopotamia with an idolatrous father, going over to Haran, going over to the Promised Land, going down to Egypt, and going over to Bethel, and going over to the plain of Mamre. This guy constantly continued to improve in his walk with God. I think he's a good example for us this evening to look at. God gave him promise, and those promises was Abraham's marching orders. And it was the promises of God that guided Abraham in his service to God. Nothing became too impossible. Here's a guy that God had promised him a son in his old age. And when he was long past childbearing, and also his wife had been barren her entire life, God promised him that he was going to give him a son. And guess what he did? He believed it. He believed it. And so no matter what kind of time Abraham was in, he always looked to the promise of God. And when you and I look at his life, it is a constant growth, if you will, growing more and more toward God. When you look at Abraham's life there in Mesopotamia, when he's there with his father who is over the household, because he's Terah, he's the one up from Abraham, and everything has to fall up under him, that Abraham was faithful to God. In the midst of who his father was, who was an idolatrous, according to Joshua chapter 24. And so you see this particular person, hope against hope. Here's someone that only had his faith as he stepped out on the promise of God. I think he's a good illustration, if you will, of someone who upped their game, if you will, someone who elevated his serve so far as God is concerned. He started out in Mesopotamia with an idolatrous father and ended up willing to offer his only begotten son, a fellow by the name of Isaac. I think that's some elevation of service at that point. Three observations tonight, and then you can go home or go eat dinner, or late dinner. When you look at the life of Abraham, with all of the activities that Abraham had, with all of the challenges Abraham had, with all of the experiences Abraham, from all of the journeys of Abraham, from all of the things that went right and also the things that went wrong in Abraham's life, what impresses me about his serve and his elevation of his serve is that Abraham had a life of priority or prioritizing. Let me tell you what I mean. Here is God talking to Abraham and telling Abraham in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1, get thee out of your country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. But you know what Abraham did? He maintained his priorities. Even when God is telling him to move, Abraham respected his parents. Even when his parent was an idolater, Abraham's priority was the idea that even though I'm going to follow God, that will not allow me to disregard the priorities that I need to have in my life. I think about Jesus, who is about saving the world. I mean, he is going on the cross, actually, and our Lord Jesus prioritized his life. Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Well, Jesus, wait a minute. You know, you can get away from that priority because you are saving humanity. Jesus, I know that. But woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother. Here is Jesus Christ helping us to see that no matter how tall the assignment you and I have, no matter how important our lives is, no matter how spiritual we become, we will never get away from having a life that prioritized. You'll see where I'm going tonight. And so secondly, not only his life was prioritized in the relationship he had with his parents, but also in the relationship he had with his wife. Sarah was Abraham's priority. It's amazing how when God called Abraham, it seemed like there's a conversation just between God and Abraham. And we forget about Sarah. She's always in presence. And so when God promised Abraham that he was going to give him a son, Sarah had been barren her entire life. She's now beyond the age of having a child. She goes to her servant, and she gives her to Abraham, and they have a child. It is Sarah's effort, if you will, and Abraham listened to her. He actually listened to his wife. Prioritizing. You go back to Genesis chapter 3. Adam, I'm telling you what to do. This is from the Lord. But you know what Adam did? He listened to his wife. Now, I'm not justifying what Eve and Sarah did. I'm just saying that these individuals had this idea of prioritizing. They're seeing how important it is to be in connection, in relationship with my wife or my spouse. You and I will never get so spiritual that we need to walk away from the priorities that we have in our lives. I hope that makes sense tonight. And so here's Abraham, the great man of faith. He listens to his wife. He made sure his wife was taken care of. And when he needed her and called upon her, she was there with him. She supported him. But she supported him, even called him Lord, because she realized that Abraham had her high as a priority. I think sometimes if our wives will submit to us, maybe the thing that comes before submission is prioritization. If she knows that she's the most important thing to me, maybe the submission won't be so hard. Amen. Okay, that's enough said on that. But how about his children? Abraham had a priority for his child. Abraham, even though he's being led to the promised land, even though he's going to be promised descendants like the stars in the heaven, Abraham still made Isaac a priority in his life. He wanted to make sure she married the right girl. And all of a sudden, here's someone that he involved in, if you will, the reason or the leadership of God Almighty. And so Isaac comes along, and Isaac is told how important he is, how significant he is. And Sarah signs on to it, and he is important to her, and she believes that he's going to be a descendant with many, many nations. And yet she'll die in Genesis 23. And Isaac won't get married and have children until Genesis 24. But the priority was there. Abraham, the great life that he lived, it was a life of priority. Abraham believed God, and therefore he made sure that he kept intact those things which God has commanded him to do. Sometimes you and I get real busy with spiritual work. And I know I've used it myself. I'm on the way to a Bible class, so I can speed. You know, or maybe I can be, okay, y'all missed that, okay. The idea is, if we're going to have a life of service, let's strive to get to a point where the other priorities and important things in my life are not left behind, simply because I am trying to up my serve. That doesn't give me justification, God, to disown other things. When I go to a restaurant, that doesn't, because I'm a minister, because I'm a deacon, because I'm an elder, because I'm a faithful member of the Church of Christ, that doesn't give me the right or the privilege to disrespect the person that's serving me at the dinner table. I'm talking about the priorities, because we're to love all. We're to be kind people. That's the idea, making sure our lives are lives of priority. We are here because of the wonderful life, if you will, that Abraham lived. He becomes the example for us in a way that we can really up our game or up our service. There's another thought that I see in the life of Abraham. Not only does he live a life of priority, but Abraham also lived a life of purpose. Abraham's life was not, he gets up in the morning and he kind of wonders what his life is going to be about today. Abraham had a purpose for living. We as a congregation, years ago, settle in on this focus of being a purpose-driven church. We're here because of the purpose that God has set for us. Many, many years later, after Abraham comes onto the scene, his great-great-great-great-great-grandson, a fellow by the name of Solomon, will point it out in Ecclesiastes that the whole of man, King James says the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep his commandments. So Abraham, before Solomon came along, lived a life of purpose. My life is not an accident. I'm not kind of more or less going to end up doing God's will. No, I'm going to purposefully do God's will. I'm going to have a life of purpose. Abraham, Romans chapter 4, verse number 3. He believed God. Turn, if you will, over to Romans chapter 4 just for a moment, and let's capture what our brother Paul writes about Abraham in this wonderful text of Romans chapter 4. A life, not only a priority, prioritizing those things that are important. There are some things in this world, some things in our service, some things in our lives are more important than others. We want to make sure we prioritize those, but also we want to make sure that we have a life of purpose. Watch this guy that we're talking about today. The writer says, our brother Paul says in Romans chapter 4, verse number 1, he says, what shall I say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and his belief, or it, was counted unto him, or reckoned unto him, for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Verse 6. Even as David, who describeth the blessedness of the man whom God imputeth righteousness without works. And so Abraham lived a life of purpose. Abraham really believed that my reason for being here is tied to God. That's my purpose. And so Abraham approached his life as a purpose-driven life. I'm not here casually walking down the road. I'm here because this is where God has placed me for a purpose. We see that a lot of our young people. And that's why I love history, because we need to understand that we didn't just get here by accident. A design brought us here. We as in America, we as a nation of people, we didn't just kind of fall off of a turnip truck. We were here by design or by purpose. The same thing is true with our walk with God. We're not here by accident. Your life, now that you're in Christ, is not just a casual acquaintance. You have a purposeful life. Jesus Christ came into this world because you are so important to him that he died for you. And God will not spend his only begotten son on something that's not significant. And he died for us. We have purpose. And Abraham lived a purposeful life. Abraham, a life of purpose. Abraham went to new locations. He went to new lands. He saw new people. But he still served the same God. He had new experiences, but the same God. New relationships, but the same God. New challenges, but the same God. He treated everybody fair. Why? Because he served the same God, and he saw himself in the same light from that God, no matter which country he was in. I think that needs to be us. We're not going to act different when we cross the border and go into Arkansas, across the border and go into Louisiana. No, we're going to be the same people because we have the same purpose, whether we're in Texas, California, or New Mexico, or wherever the case might be. We are purposed people. God has shed his beautiful light and given us his beautiful Holy Spirit to indwell us, to let us know that we're sealed and the down payment has been paid. We belong to God. We don't have a life of our own. Our life is his now, and that's the purpose of which you and I live. And if we're going to elevate our service, it must be a life of purpose. I'm here because God loves me. Something I find so interesting in this purposeful life is in Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 7, right after Abraham gets his call, God says, I'm going to give you this land. You know what Abraham did? He built an altar. Genesis chapter 12, verse number 8, he went into the mountains. Guess what he did? Built an altar. In Genesis 13, verse number 18, in the plain of Mamre, guess what he did? Built an altar. In Genesis 22, verse number 9, as he was offering up Isaac, guess what he did? He built an altar. No matter where Abraham went, he saw his purpose as worshiping and magnifying God. And guess what happens here? In Genesis chapter 26 and verse number 25, Isaac built an altar. And in Genesis chapter 33 and verse number 20, guess what? Jacob built an altar. These individuals, not only Abraham laid out the foundation, but his son and his grandson did the same thing. Maybe, brethren, if our children, our grandkids and great-grandkids and all of that see that purpose in us, maybe that'll help them to have purpose in their lives as well. Abraham, this great, great leader, this great man of God, had a life not only of priority, but also of purpose. And finally, and I'll drive home a point on this one, he had a life of promise. Abraham had priority in his life. He governed his life by the things that were important. And Abraham lived a life of purpose. He saw himself as a reason for being. And finally, he had a life of promise. Turn, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 8. This our study in the book of Hebrews on Wednesday night has been just fascinating as we dig and dig and dig and see what the Hebrew writer has to say to us. But in chapter 11, verse number 8, watch what the writer says here in regard to Abraham. Excuse me. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 8, the Bible says, by faith, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, guess what he did? Obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles or tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham lived a life of promise. When you think about a life of promise, I get the idea that Abraham had a life that you couldn't see, but he had evidence that it was, because God said so. God promised Abraham, I'm going to give you this land. Abraham will die without receiving that land. But that's not the big deal. The big deal is God promised him. Can you imagine somebody walking around who had been given land and they don't have the deed yet? But they say, well, I'm going to give you this land. And so you walk around in this building and you know that you own this building. The deed just hadn't been changed yet. Now, you might think, when I work for a finance company and what, you know, they're going to put some kind of a lien on the property and all of that. So maybe, no, that's not Abraham. God says, Abraham, you walk down here and you see this land that you own now, everywhere your foot touches is yours. Abraham lived a life believing in the promises of God. And I think when you and I do that, brethren, we can sure enough elevate our serve. Because now we're going to dig deep into the promises of God. God, what did you tell me? And for those of us that are getting a little older, I'm here to tell you that those promises begin to be real, real significant. God says, I promise you eternal life with me. None of us here have been given eternal life. You understand what I'm saying? We're still alive. We're flesh and blood. But the promise is, you got it. The promise is that you are now living in the very presence of God. The veil has been rent in twain, and you and I stand in the presence of God. That's a promise. He promises us, because he gives us his spirit to indwell us, that spirit is a down payment guaranteeing that I'm going to come back for you. He hasn't come back yet. But what do we have? The promise. Abraham, even his lying to Abimelech is tied to the promise of God. Who is this fine woman that's walking with you? My sister. Two times Abraham will do that. Two different Abimelechs, powerful people. Why did he do that? Because he believed that God promised him that through Sarah, that he's going to give him a child. So if I have to loan her out to the Pharaoh, to his harem, okay. But God promised me that we're going to have a child that will produce all these descendants, even foreign nations. Abraham believed God. Why didn't he get so upset, really upset when him and Lot, their shepherds, fought with each other? Because Abraham had something higher than owning the best grazing land that Lot wanted, because he had the promise of God. Well, why didn't Abraham get upset, more upset when things didn't go his way? Because Abraham believed God and what God had promised him. Brethren, if you and I are going to elevate our serve, we're going to have to get beyond that which we can see and get into that which we cannot see, and that's the promises of God. And the promises haven't been realized yet. All the promises that Jesus has given us, many of those promises are not here yet, to dwell with him in eternity. To have this idea of this new body. But this old body is going to waste away like a bad movie, if you will. And we're going to see his face in peace. We haven't seen it yet. But we live lives because we believe in the promises of God. That's how we can elevate our service. Not only prioritizing, but also the idea of having a purposeful life. And also the concept, if you will, of having a life of promise. A couple of passages, and then we'll come in for a landing. The promise is only as sure as the promiser. The promise is only as sure as the promise. And you have somebody out on the street, too poor to pay attention, and they tell you that, hey, if you go in and get me a hamburger, I promise you I'm going to give you a $100 bill. Now, you might just go ahead and buy him a hamburger. Amen. He ain't going to get that $100 bill. He might have all kinds of good intentions, but you're not going to get it. The promise is only as significant as the one who's making the promise. If a multimillionaire tell you, I'm going to buy you a house, like your child playing sports, and I heard the other day that Tony Romo, who is going to be an announcer, is going to make $17 million a year for being an announcer. So if Tony Romo says, I'm going to buy you a car, you know, if you know Tony, and you can trust that. I mean, buy you a bigger garage, okay? The promise is only as good as the promiser. When God tells us he's going to give something that is impossible. Abraham, you're old. Your wife is old. And she's been barren her entire life. But I'm going to give you a son. And that boy will produce people just like the sands of the seashore, the stars in the heaven. Abraham, do you believe me? Will you trust me? Do you have confidence in the one who said it can produce it? And Abraham said, I believe. And that confession, that belief, was what God used to justify Abraham's salvation. The promises of God are significant, and we must believe and have a life of promise. Otherwise, I don't know if we can elevate our serve. If your life is based on the here and now, the tangible stuff, I think we're going to miss it. I think we're going to have limitations of how we can elevate our game, if you will. Romans chapter 4, verse number 20, one of the most staggering passages, because he uses the word staggering in there. He staggered not at the promise of God. He staggered not. If somebody said, well, I'm going to give you just millions and millions of dollars. Well, you start, like you've been up all night long, without sleep, you stagger. Like a boxer, like the guy the other day got knocked down a couple of times, you're going to be staggering from the punch. But when God told Abraham didn't stagger. Those that have come out of messed up lives, and God says, I can make your life better. Will you stagger? Those that have been living hopeless lives, and God says, I'll give you hope. Are you going to stagger? Those that have had all kinds of disappointments and messed up lives and messed up dreams and messed up everything. And God says, you come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Will you stagger? Is it possible? A lot of us who have God and has his spirit indwelling us, when he tells us something, when we read it in the text, we stagger. I don't know how God is going to do this. I don't know if Abraham took a course at the community college and tried to understand biology. How can God tell an old man who has an old wife who has always been barren that he's going to give him a child? I need to take another course. I need to understand biology, conception, and all of that. No, Abraham said, I just believe God. I just believe God. Abraham elevated his game so much that God called him my friend. My friend. What's the lesson for tonight? The idea of upping our game, elevating our serve, getting to a point where you and I can truly look at our lives and see the growth in our lives every year. We have a theme around here. Every year we look at it and we look back over 2019, 2020, 2021, and we look and see what we did. We do that as a congregation. But if I'm interested in elevating my serve, I'm going to start doing that in regard to my service to God. Do I stand more firm now than I stood 6 months ago? Do even my conversation change now? Because I'm leaning more and more on the promises of God. Those intangible things that only have as their foundation of thus saith the Lord. And if that's the case, I'm going to prioritize my life. Things that are important, I'm going to be important to me. I'm going to be a better husband because that's a good priority. I'm going to be a better wife. That's a good priority. I'm going to be a better father. That's a good priority. I'm going to be a better mother. That's a good priority. And if I'm on the other side of it, I'm going to be a good child. I'm going to honor my parents. And even if I'm a faithful member of the body of Christ and my parents are idolaters, I'm going to still honor them as best I can. Why? Because I believe that priority is important for Christians, for people that have named the name of Jesus. I don't understand, Mom, but I don't know if your mom or dad go down and worship little idols. That's what Abraham had. And yet, in the midst of that, he still honored his parents. That's heavy to me, brother. A life of priority. Abraham, you're a friend of God. You're this great man of faith. Abraham said, I know that, but hold on, let me go get my father some water. His honoring his father did not take away from him the idea of how important his faith was, but Abraham was able to give the right priorities to the things in his life so that he honored someone else. If you're going to elevate your service this year, let's make sure you and I have priorities in our lives. How about this idea of wanting to make sure that you and I secure, if you will, those promises that God has made, that purpose that God has given us? I don't know about you, but sometimes, you know, especially maybe when you get older, you kind of wonder a little bit, what's my reason for being here? What's my purpose in being here? What is this all about? Do I need to start a business? Do I need to go to Mexico? What's my purpose? I think for the true child of God, we're constantly seeking to deepen that understanding.
Amen.
God didn't die on the cross so that you and I can have a nice house. He didn't die on the cross so we can have a brand new car, not even the Bentley that's parked out in the driveway here. He didn't die. Oh, y'all missed that. He didn't die for us to have all of the trappings of life. He died so that you and I can stand with him through eternity. That's our purpose. And if we just happen to get a nice car in the meantime, praise the Lord. If we have a nice tent in the meantime, praise the Lord. If God gives me good health, praise the Lord. If God gives me some friends, praise the Lord. But at the end of the day, my purpose is to fear him and keep his commandments. That's all to it. And God, give me strength that we can serve you in a purposeful way every day. God, who will bless your name more in my life? And then the final thought again is the idea of making sure that you and I live our lives on the promises of God. It's been fun studying Hebrews. One of the things that many have struggled with in that class is when God promises to get rid of our sins. That's a struggle for some. That's a struggle. I can't see that. Because God, how can you forgive me? You don't know who I am. You don't know how bad things I've done. But the scriptures say that God has washed your sins away if you're in Christ. That's his promise. Your sins are gone. Well, yeah, I understand that, but God, you don't know. The Apostle Paul, when he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy, talks about the kind of sinner he was. And yet he had been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen. And Paul lived a life based upon the promises of God. And you know what that allowed Paul to do? Preach the gospel. The incident in season, out of season. Why? Because Paul believed in the promise of God. If God said it, and if we believe it, that settles it. How about you tonight? Priorities all mixed up. God gives his word and he helps us to see what the priorities are. Being good people, allowing the Spirit to guide us so far as his word is concerned, to be holy and righteous and just a good seasoning for this world. And brethren, I'm telling you, we need some good seasoning. Amen. Right now, especially in our country and all in the world. We're so diverted. We're so polarized. Every person has their own thing. I wonder where the yeast of God is. He's sprinkling us. But the one that we need to be is making sure we have the right priorities. Making sure we are dwelling on the idea of the promises of God and the priorities of God. Are you here tonight wanting to make sure that your calling and election is sure? That it rests within the purpose of God. I'm not doing my own thing. I'm here working within the framework of God's purpose for my life. And that would be the guide that I will strive to follow. Hear the wonderful news. We got good news, brethren. We serve a God that has purposed in each one of us the potential to see his face in peace and spend eternity with him. That's our message. We have a message to the world. God has a purpose for you, and that purpose is redemption. Once you come unto him, before it's everlastingly too late. Hear the gospel, believe, repent of your sins, confess the great name. Yes, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And trusting that promise to get rid of our sins, go down trusting in him in the water grave of baptism as he washes all of our sins away. Come up walking in the newness of light, and I'll never look back because now I have clarity in the purpose of my life. I want to go to him. If you're here tonight, subject to heaven's invitation in any way, won't you please come as we gather stand, sing the song invitation.
Oh, do not let the word depart and close thine eyes against the light. Poor sinner, harden not your heart.
God bless you.
Be saved.
God bless you, brother.
Oh, tonight. Oh, why not tonight? Oh, why not tonight? Will thou be saved? Oh, why not tonight?
I hope and pray the message tonight has been helpful, especially in regard to our theme for this year. Up in our serve, the 2020 vision, God help us to improve our serve. I'm not just going to be satisfied, God, with bringing a turtle dove down to the altar. I want to bring a ram. I want to bring a bullock, the most choicest one out of my stable. That's what I want to give you, God. I want to give you the best. And so help me to have a life like Abraham, a life that's chronicled in the priorities of God, a life that is about understanding, if you will, what the principles are, what the promises of God, all these priorities that God has set for us. God, I want to please you. And I think each one of us can encourage one another, especially as all of us are walking toward God. Let's encourage one another as we walk together. Amen. That we might grow in the purpose of God Almighty. God bless you. I appreciate your attentiveness tonight. God bless you.
Tomorrow.